welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And today we have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science and, of course, all those interesting things that I usually talk about. If you haven't heard the show before, welcome. And if you are wanting to call in during the show, the numbers are right on the page where you are listening to or from. And you can use those numbers if you're in the U.S. or in Canada. There's 800 numbers to call in and say hi and give your opinions or thoughts or whatever. Today's show is going to kind of revolve around some of the things that are going on overseas, particularly in Iran, but it's also happening. There's so many different things happening. It seems like we live in a very tumultuous world in which you wait a few minutes and, of course, there's going to be something new going on. Very active world. We right now are probably witnessing or about to witness the potential for a revolution. Now, what is that? Well, a revolution is a rapid and swift change in some condition that has been prevalent for a while. Now, in this case, we're talking about a political revolution, and it may occur in Iran. What are the chances? Well, I don't know. You want to bet on this one or what the odds might be? I can't tell you for sure. But this show is going to have to do with some of the principles of liberty or death. And that comes, you know, you've heard this, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What does that mean, more importantly, for a soul and a soul that is incarnating in the physical world during part of its existence here on this planet Earth? And there are certain conditions that I want to talk about and how they interplay with what's going on currently in the world and has for a long time, and why it's maybe an interesting, if not extremely difficult, place to learn these lessons and to enact certain principles in one's life while physically alive. Now, I want to start off by giving you some basic understandings of what it means to a soul to face the concept of, while it's physically alive particularly, to face the concept of a, we'll say, a choice to either seize the ability to be free and to have liberty, or to, unfortunately, give up one's physical existence. At least the potential for such, because this is something that every soul has to go through a number of different ways and times sometimes, but different ways, and I'll go through all the ways and explain what the principles are, in order for it to gain a mastery over the physical world. You can't stop incarnating until this is mastered. And there are other things that have to be mastered, but this is a pretty important one and a fairly basic one. And we have as many lifetimes as it takes to do it in. And for those of you who have listened to some other shows, this may average somewhere around like 800 or so. 777 is like a big number, so people think that you're going to be born exactly that many times. It's not necessarily true. But it certainly is true that you've got somewhere in that ballpark, like 800 lifetimes. Is not, you know, that's why it takes so long, because you have to be able to master some of the things that are the most difficult. Now, let me be more specific when I talk about what is this thing, liberty or death, which is the name of today's show. And that is different than just saying, well, if I want to be free, I'm willing to give up my life so that I will have freedom. Well, yeah, that is one of the things, but it is different than just that, because it's much bigger. That is one of the earlier tests that most people usually go through during well, maybe the first 100 or 200 lifetimes. Because freedom and liberty have to be the most important elements to a life. It has to seek that for first its own life, and then for the lives of those that are closest to it, and that it has the most identification with and even investment in. And finally, it has to do so for others that it has little or no contact with, investment with. It has to be able to see the connections with these others as being part of itself, and it has to include even some parts of life that are not necessarily human. Wow, not human. Okay. And, of course, animals do this very thing, believe it or not. But they don't do it at anywhere near the levels that I'm going to be talking about in today's show. So I'm not going to go down to the animal level and go through all that stuff. It wouldn't really pay for us to learn about ourselves in this particular instance this way, because this is on a much higher level. And there are seven particular ways that we have to prove these things in three different ways that I just described. So if you counted, multiply that out, it'd be like 21 ways. And generally, people don't do this in one lifetime. They do one or two in some lifetimes and not in others. And so it can take a while. It can take a while. And when a soul first incarnates, the person and personality that is in control is usually not significantly tested in these ways, to take action at least, right away. Because it is stressful. It is very difficult for someone to say, with the illusions of this world, and that's the big problem, the illusion about death is our biggest illusion, to say, well, I will give up my life, but what they're really saying is they're just giving up a body and they're going on to another body. But they don't know that. So, because they're in an illusion. And they're not sure of it, even if they're not fully in an illusion. So, there is a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety that comes into play when a person says, give me liberty or give me death. About anything. And in any form of the test that I'm going to be going through in today's show, it still produces these levels of fear and anxiety. And so we will see how, as we mature and we become more and more our soul while we're physically alive, because in the earlier lifetimes that isn't even close to being true, the fear diminishes and we don't have that standing in the way. That doesn't mean it still gives us the wherewithal to still, with great amounts of effort and tremendous amounts of will, say, give me liberty or give me death. Now, we have, of course, people that are facing this. And this is very important. As I go through today's show, I want you to think about this. That there are people facing this very issue as I speak. From where I am, and I think this is true of some people, but it depends on what time zone you're in. From where I am, people are awakening or have awakened in Iran. And they are presently facing some of the questions and issues of today's show. I wish they could be hearing this, but my understanding is that their internet is pretty much shut down, and they would not probably be able to get today's show today. But maybe those who participate in today there will be able to hear it next week or next month or something, if they don't have it right now. I wish they could, and there was some way that we could make that happen. Okay, so let me start off at the most basic level so that it's pretty understandable. I won't go into too much of the science I know you guys will say, oh, he's going to do that science thing for 10 minutes and he'll lose everybody, and then we'll be sitting here and saying, what? Now, I'll try to keep that down today, because today I want to be more about just getting the concept of the principle itself, not necessarily why it's like that. You know, how come God created it that way? Because I could go into that, but that probably ate up most of the show, and then everybody was sitting around saying, see, he did it again. So if I have some time at the end of the show, I might still try to squeak some in there, but I don't think I will. So I'm saving those of you who, you know, some people said like last week, oh my God, that show was a mind twister. No, I don't know. Sometimes I get off. Okay, that's all right. That's why I'm given the liberty to do that on this show. See, I sometimes can talk my head off about things that confuses the heck out of people. And they say, you can't say all that stuff in that time, a period of time. Nobody can follow you. All right, well, here we go. So to begin with, we start at the most basic element, the most basic level of principle, which has to do with the concept of the etheric physical ways that we need to learn how to create liberty for ourselves and others, freedom. And the liberty is to express the godliness that is inside of us in a certain way. And that godliness, I call it virtue. You can call it whatever you want, really. I mean, it doesn't have to use the words that I use. But we'll call it a virtue. And the virtue in this particular case has to do with diversity and with, we'll call it, the ability to be cooperative and to share in allowing life in general to be diverse. And it is about being able to do this in your daily life. I'm trying to make this very practical. In your daily life, in a creative way that expresses yourself, ourselves, individually. This is the very most basic liberty that we need to face under certain circumstances, where it may mean that our own life is in jeopardy. And oftentimes it does in some circumstances, in some places. Now you can see, and that this is true on Earth. Now I want to make sure you understand, I'm talking about Earth now. I'm talking about a third-rate planet that's relatively primitive, that's been infused with the tremendous problems of evil, and that we're trying to overcome. If we were on a different world, a more advanced world, and we'd all have been through this already, we'd be addressing these same concepts in a very different way, actually. But for right now, I want to stick with where we are, which is Earth. And I don't want to confuse you by bringing in examples from extraplanetary or extra solar system kinds of issues. They really aren't that important to the people who are here right now, and especially those who may hear this that are in Iran right now, or that are in North Korea, because that's another big deal, isn't it? So we've got all these things going on. And then the people in the United States who are the leaders in this world, believe it or not, it's us. Us means I'm in the U.S. So for those people, there's an even other layer to this whole thing, which I hope to get to as well. Okay, so the very most, we'll call it, simplest way to express the question of liberty and to face it in terms of our own life is about ourselves and our individual ability to be creative and to express ourselves in ways that allows us to cooperate and share with others, and through this cooperation and sharing produce a synthesis and diversity in the world through our own efforts. Okay, that's the simplest thing, and we can face this maybe in a lifetime, and probably not when we're in the U.S., by the way. But for people who in more primitive circumstances, or people who have done this thousands of years ago, they may have faced it when they were a serf, and they couldn't do virtually anything other than grow a few meager morsels of food for themselves and mostly for others, and they were not capable of really doing much more than that, and their life was extremely limited and controlled. There are other ways. Maybe when you were a slave in an earlier life, and in a case of a slave situation, you face the issues of, do I continue in this, or do I try to free myself from this? And in freeing myself, do I prove my freedom by eventually, remember, it isn't just saying I got away from somebody who was preventing me from doing it. You still got to do it, you see. And in that process, you have to be creative in a way that produces diversity and synthesis, and you do it with cooperation and sharing with some other people. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Okay, so that's like the first rung of the ladder. That's the most basic. And you may be, in some circumstances, some people may go through several lifetimes where they actually lose their life, but aren't able to complete the whole process. And they cannot put it into physical activity in a way where they do manage to cooperate and share with others and actually produce something that is synthesizing, and it produces a kind of diversity to the lives of others. I mean, whatever it might be. It could be something relatively simple, or it could be something more on the complex side. Okay, so that's where it begins. But what, there's 21 ways, so I just covered one of them. What about, where does it go from there? Well, it goes from there when the object is to do the same thing I just said, but you're going to do it not for yourself, but for those that you identify with as being important to you, important people to you. It could be family, it could be siblings, it could be children of your own, and it could be children of others, it could be just people that you know and are friends with. You do it for their purpose, for their sake, and you help them to become more diverse in their activities, for them to develop a greater synthesis in what they're producing, and help them to, as well, cooperate and share with others. So this is a big step, and it's really getting into the more of a soul consciousness, which is a good thing. But it isn't completely there, but it's moving in that direction for sure. And again, you're only doing this relatively small thing compared to what we're going to end up with by the end of the show, but it is a big enough event, because now it's not just about yourself. It is about others. Okay. And now let's take it to another step, because obviously we got a lot to cover. Let's take it to another step and say, okay, then what's the third way, which is the biggest way that we generally are going to function under, in which we're doing it for people we absolutely don't know. We're going to help the North Koreans to become more free to express themselves, and this is an example, to express themselves in a way which we will call the physical world's expression of it in terms of activity, and they're going to become more cooperative and sharing among themselves and among others, anyone, including us possibly, and they're going to become more capable of creating and expressing a synthesis and a means of getting life to become more diverse in their processing. When I say life, it isn't just their life, it isn't just human life, it's whenever I'm saying life, I'm referring to any life and all life that they encounter. So, but we don't know those people. I mean, we know who they are in a sense, but we don't really know them. So we're doing this now for the sake of others, yet we are facing our own death as a possibility. Remember that. In every circumstance, there is the possibility that the North Koreans will respond with nuclear weapons on us, raining down, and blow us up or something. And so here we have, well, we, in each of these cases, you can see, first we're giving for ourselves, then we're giving for people that we are close with and we know, and finally we're giving to people that we don't know and who might even be our enemies, at least as they see it. And yet we are doing this for the purpose of creating a virtue in the physical world, which is an expression of God itself. We're doing it really for God, if you think about it. But now it's for God in all that exists, all the people that exist, and which affects all life, too. Because remember, this expression is not just for humans, it's for all life. I hope you're, you know, keeping up with this. This is a big, these are getting big concepts, aren't they? That you can kind of like, oh, what is he talking about now? No. Okay, so, and we face death in every one of these steps. The death could come through hostile actions, or it may come through some natural occurrence, but there is some risk. Now, does that mean in every time you do this, in each lifetime to meet your lesson, that you're going to die as a result of it? No, it does not. As a matter of fact, death is not a necessary outcome. It is only that we face it and we still continue with our efforts in helping to increase liberty. Okay? So, the people in Iran who are doing this maybe for their fellow countrymen, if they know them, we can say they're at the second level of this thing. If they don't know them, it's getting more into the third type, although they still might identify them as countrymen. And those people may be facing death, and they may die, or they may not. Whether they do or don't, as far as the soul is concerned, is not the important issue, because death is just a change in bodies. And it's better not to die to the soul, because it gives that person more opportunity to be creative in the most difficult place to live, which is the physical world, right where we live right now. Going on to the astral worlds and to live in an astral life is way easier. And although we might have some slight elements of what I'm talking about while we're there, it's nothing like while we're here, because first of all, the illusion of death is nowhere near as great. I mean, you remember that you used to be physically alive. You know you're going to probably be alive beyond the astral world. So death stops being as fearful an issue. It's not completely gone, but it's not as much an issue as it was. Okay, so we've covered three of them now, and I hope this is making some sense. I hope this is like people are getting, well, okay, now I can kind of keep up with this guy, you know. And let me go on. Because this is just the beginning. We're only talking about creating some part of God in the way that it's created within this dimension of time and space exclusively, actually. But what about the other ways? While we're physically alive, we're still expected to create God in every way possible. And we need to do so at the risk of our own demise. So if we go on and we now are going to create the next way that God expresses itself, that way is in familiar love, or in love that has a direct response on one other group or person. It could be a group of people, but they have a common element to themselves. And we're going to do, so now we're talking about motive, by the way, we're going to do whatever we are doing in terms of creating liberty for the benefit that others will be able to be more inclusive and be more active as one in their expression of creation. And we do this first when we're part of it. That's where it begins. We are a member of a group, or we're a member of whatever, and we're going to help others to become more inclusive, more capable of seeing and giving to others, seeing that giving is necessary and be willing to give to others. Now it's no longer about creating a thing that's going to be something that is going to help life to become more diverse and more synthesized. It's about creating, beyond the thing, we're going to create love. Okay? Now, the creation of love could be through any means. It doesn't have to be in a specific way. But the outcome, the ultimate outcome, the motive behind what we're doing in terms of creating liberty is to improve the ability for others to become loving. And that is our goal. Okay, and this is another kind of life lesson, we'll call it, that deals with another set of principles that deals with the liberty principle and in terms of us facing it at the level of giving up our own life if necessary for the benefit of first ourselves if we're involved in it, but let's say we're not involved in it directly, then for those that we care about and can identify with, those may be our friends, our children, whatever, and finally, we do it for those that we don't know. And that's a big jump. Let me tell you, it is a big jump because now we're talking about helping others become more loving, but not necessarily even towards us individually, nor towards even people we like or care about. We want them to become more loving in general. And for that purpose, we are willing to give up our own life, if necessary, to encourage this very state of, we'll say, being a part of God. Wow. I hope you're seeing the difference here, because these are different states of mind and action, and they become more nebulous, more difficult for us to say, yeah, it's just this thing, because it isn't just this thing. And it is a big thing, bigger than possibly, and probably in most circumstances, than just creating a material outcome that produces more synthesis and diversity in life. This produces life that is more conscious and loving and inclusive in its functioning in general. It doesn't just affect the humans that way. They will do that, and we usually do it for other humans, but it also affects all life. And some people do sometimes choose to give up their life for forms of life that are certainly not human. But they do it for the sake of loving life and the sake of helping that life to become more conscious in some respect. The consciousness may not be, as we identify, human consciousness. It may be just the consciousness actually of that particular kind of life, but it still in some way benefits that life the way that I'm describing. Again, we're trying to imbue within life the virtues of God. Okay, I realize I may still be getting around the edges here and having some people say, what did he say? What did he talk about? So I want you to continue to think about what I'm saying and what I have said. We're going to go to break because we're running out of time again in this segment. But when we come back, we'll go a lot deeper into this, and I will cover more faster, but it'll all kind of add together and it'll make sense. So we'll be back, give or take, within about 2.5 minutes or so from now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
This is What Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about principles of liberty or death. Sounds rather dramatic, I guess. In honor, so to speak, and also in concern for those in Iran who are facing this issue right now. Just as I speak, people in Iran are awakening or have awakened and are facing the dilemma of whether to go out and to demonstrate and possibly try to overthrow a government that they exist in, or at least try to modify it, if that's possible. And they're facing potentially death. So we need to be concerned about that. All right. So hopefully it's starting to make sense. You had a couple of minutes there maybe to think about what I was saying. And I'm going to continue on with this because, of course, we got a lot more to do. And I don't get, you know, I'm going to try to make it through. As usual, I know I've got more to say than we have time to say then. So I'll just pick and choose what I can get out there. Okay, so what is the third way? There is a third way that we need to address. And this way kind of, this has to do a lot with what our forefathers, the people who started the United States, were facing in some circumstances. They faced the other two things as well, but for the most part, they didn't. Actually, they weren't fighting for the kinds of freedoms, those first two aspects in the three different ways. They weren't fighting for that. The people that were free here, not the people who were enslaved here. That's a different story. But the people who were, quote, free, but were still under the thumb of Great Britain and had to fight against English laws, et cetera, they were into what the next thing is. Okay, so just so we can get ourselves, like, positioned on the map about what they were facing in terms of the principles. And this has to do with the principle of creating, the ability to create truth, the ability to speak the truth, the ability to hear the truth, and the ability to create it in various, in sundry ways, which I'm going to go into to some extent, and to live it. So this is a most interesting concept because if someone is living the truth, they become an example of it for others to follow. So this, and you have to have that ability built in. Now, the people who started this country predominantly were fearful and very concerned of government because government on Earth is predominantly dark, predominantly evil in its expression in comparison to being virtuous. So it's more towards the dark side, and they recognize this. These were people who we call spiritual disciples, the ones who created our Constitution and our government, and the main ways the government works. They recognized that a government must be kept continuously divided among itself and continuously weakened by its own darkness, fighting among itself and bashing itself so that the people can maintain liberty. Because otherwise the government does the opposite. Now, as I speak, the government is doing the opposite, and it has since the beginning of the country. But it has grown to the point where it's not as balanced as it was when the country was first started. So it's actually gotten darker, not more enlightened. We do not have a lot of people think we do. I know they do. But actually our government has become less enlightened over time because it has much corruption in it. And when there isn't corruption, it has the feedings of power, which is evil works off of power. And people seek the power through becoming part of the government to control and dominate others for their own needs and desires. And government in our country is meant to try to control some of this. It can't do it completely, and it could still. We could still lose it. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. You know, it's only as good as we're going to keep it, and we don't. And he didn't know whether we would choose to do that. And right now, I can tell you, we're faced with a dilemma with the present administration that is not moving in a direction to try to increase freedom. It is moving in a direction to decrease freedom. And that's always a problem. But I don't want to get into that. It's another show at another time. I think it's important to recognize, though, that the people in Iran are vastly more facing this issue. The issue they face is, can they hear the truth, speak the truth, act the truth within their country under their government? And the answer is no. At the present moment, you can say none of those are truly possible, because at any moment when they might have some window of opportunity to hear, speak, or act the truth, it could be immediately taken away from them with the whim of one person or more. And so they are continuously under threat from this, and they don't have liberty. What they do have is the strong desire to have liberty. They don't necessarily want to have the liberty of our government, but they want to have the liberty within whatever government they choose to have in their country. And so it is important to realize that we have three different ways of enacting, just as they do, their means of creating for themselves the virtue of truth. They can create it only for themselves, and we've created it for ourselves, right? They can create it for people that they know and care about, like other countries that have, you know, Islamic traditions or that have similar kinds of mores and similar kinds of civilization in the past and moving into the future, similar kinds of customs and social interactions. These are all the kinds of things that they could be doing, and we have done that for ourselves, by the way. We tend to support countries and others more that resemble us. They could do all that. They still have to do it in their own country first, because they're at the basic level of this, you see. We are not. What we're facing is the third way. The third way is to promote truth and to promote it for all life everywhere in the world. We are faced with this all the time. And we fail probably 90% of the time. But 10% of the time, I'd say we probably succeed in it. Now you say, well, what do you mean we're failing? What about Iraq? We went over there and... Yeah, well, okay, yeah, that probably falls eventually, although many people were against what we were doing in Iraq. It probably falls into the freedom side. It's the way that we went about it in Iraq that wasn't too good. I mean, the fact that we did it was good, but, we went in with our corruptness from our own government, using... companies and with motives that had to do with greed and power and control from our own government transferred over to them. We weren't truly altruistic in terms of our methods. And we were, because of that, because of our own greed and because of other issues, we and power, et cetera, we became unable until virtually today to just do it for the right reason, which is to help them become truly free in the ability to conduct the truth, to find the truth, to create the truth, create more of the truth, and to help them to do it with others, too. Okay, so the people in Iran are really, they're mostly facing this in themselves. That means they're either doing it for their individual selves, and in some cases they may be doing it for themselves as a group in the nation itself. They aren't doing it for other nations, I don't think, in most circumstances. But some of them might. We don't know, right? The motives of others is hard for us to say. But most likely it falls into the categories I'm suggesting. But for us, it's totally different, isn't it? We have the freedom they don't. But what we don't have is the freedom to help them create it as much as we should. And why is that? Why do I say that? Because there have been many circumstances where we had options in the past that we did not take, where we might have faced catastrophes to ourselves, and we backed off. That's certainly true as we face another another policy that we're dealing with right now with North Korea, as an example. And I think it's very clear there. I mean, for years, we have pacified, and we have not been willing to stand up to the necessity for creating truth for them and for all the countries that we deal with, that deal with them and deal with us, like China. We haven't done it. And so that's why the 90% of the time we just screw up about this. We're not willing to create truth at the cost of our own existence as a country or as a people at that level, because those people are too distant from us, you see. They aren't our friends and family. They aren't our children, for the most part. They are people we don't know. So truth becomes a very difficult thing to help to create in the lives of others, when especially you don't know those others. That's where it's a real reach for us. And in those situations, we have not done as well as we could. But it's worth it for us to do this, believe me, because we're going to be back here if we don't. You got it? I hope so. All right, I got to go on to the next level. But I like the one about truth because truth also involves things about science, and it involves all kinds of other issues I don't have time to get into tonight. But I would love to talk about each one of these categories could be talked about in an entire show. Believe me, I'm not covering, barely touching this subject. I'm just trying to give you, this is like an overview. Okay, so let's continue on. Beauty. The next area that we can create more of God in life is by creating beauty. Now, what is beauty? Well, beauty is the ability for something to immediately improve the senses of all other things that can sense it just by experiencing it. That's what beauty is. Whoa, he said, what did he say? Yeah, I know. Okay, you can play it back. we got the show recorded, so you can play it back later. All right, so here, this is the point with beauty. If you do it for yourself, you want to improve your own senses by improving beauty in things around yourself and in all life that you can experience. That's a nice thing. It's a great thing. But if you do it for others that you're familiar with, then it's expanded out. Now you want it to be beautiful for everybody so that their senses are greatly improved by the fact that they live and create more beauty while they are also experiencing it for everybody else. It's a great thing. It affects, again, all life, so it's a wonderful thing. But then the highest level of beauty is when you do it for all life, and you do it for that part of life which you really can't barely sense yourself. And as a matter of fact, you may not be able to yet sense it, and yet you still do it. So you do it for life you can't sense, You say, well, how can you help to create beauty in life you can't sense when you have to have the feedback of sensing it in order to know if it's beautiful? Believe it or not, there is a way to do it, but you have to do it with others. You can't do it alone. So there's kind of like a exception to the rule here about doing it individually, because you still have to do it somewhat with others in order to achieve beauty. It's a very special condition. It's called the intuitive or Buddhic level of God's expression, and it really requires something more than what humans normally have, which is this ability to join sense with others and work together. But regardless of that, we all, ultimately, our goal as humanity is to make this world beautiful, so that every part of life becomes an expression of God in a way that it improves the senses and bodies of all other life in some way. In some way. Not every way, but in some way. Each part of life would do that in a world that becomes sacred and beautiful. Can you wrap your head around what I just said? I hope you can, because I can't explain any more of it because I'm going to run out of time. But it's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. Now, obviously the poor folks in Iran right now are probably not too much focused on that concept. And I don't think too many people, even in the United States or first world countries throughout the world, are actually focused on that much either. But it's the ultimate goal of humanity to raise themselves into superhumans beyond humanity through doing this very thing that I'm describing about beauty. And that's something you may not have known about. But if you read the textbook I wrote, Life's Hidden Meaning, it's in there. So you'll be able to grasp it more if you want to get that as a source. Okay, so that's a cool way. I really love that way. It tickles me. When I think about it, that is a way that just gives me tremendous hope. Okay. All right, remember, you have to face your own death in some respects. Even at these higher levels, you have to be willing to create beauty in all life at the cost of your own existence. And you obviously wouldn't be experiencing the beauty if you're not here in the physical world. That's okay. You're willing to do it. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Just want to make sure that you're following me. All right, so let's go on to the next way that we can create liberty or face our death at the same time. And that next way has to do with the desire and ability to co-create new life. New life is like not just more of life. It isn't like growing twice as many fish in the ocean. It's like creating new types of life that are capable of we'll say, the highest and newest kinds of expression of life in the world that you're in. Wow. And you allow other kinds of life then to evolve into that kind of life. So it's a whole new category of life as well. And now this is getting beyond human. I understand. I got it, you know. But you have to be able to do this to some extent even while you're human. And we are doing a little bit of this. Believe it or not, we actually are. We're trying to anyway. Some of the things we're doing in genetics and some of the things we're doing that is altering what used to be what we consider to be, oh, the sacredness of life, we're actually changing it. We're changing ourselves this way, too, by the way. When you take an existing life form, but you enhance it to levels in which it can express itself and express God through itself in ways that improves everything for everything else, that's a new way of expressing life. And it goes beyond just beauty, because now we're talking about, we'll say, invention of beyond the form of life, a new way of life to express spirit. See, beauty really has to do more with the form side, even though it always involves spirit. But this goes beyond that. This is really about a new way that spirit can express itself through life. And we're inventing those new ways as we co-create with our Creator, and we do it in three different ways. We could do it on an individual level, like we're great scientists who are creating new ways for life to express itself that is going to go on and improve the expression of spirit in my life. Or we could do it for those and with those that we are close with. We do it with a whole collection of other scientists, and many others maybe, who are maybe sociologists and other kinds of things. They're all producing, and sociology is of course science, but they're producing different aspects to the ways that we're expressing ourselves. And we use technology. And we are doing this in ways that many people don't recognize that we can do, but we are capable of doing in some element. We're not going to be able to do this at the very highest levels where you don't use technology. Technology is still a crutch. It's something that humans have to use because it's an expression of civilization, and we're tied to it while we're human. But nonetheless, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Okay, so that's when we reach into the spirit world, truly operating on a spiritual path that's purely designed to create more vehicles for spirit to express itself through. And we do this in the three different ways. We eventually do it for life outside of our own planet. Now, I know I was going to talk about that, but this is to prepare our planet to grow beyond where it's at. And that will touch other planets while it also grow this planet into something completely different than where we are right now. It's getting far out there. I understand. This is getting, like, to the God levels. Yeah. Okay, very quickly, we don't have much time left. I'm just going to have to cover the last two as quickly as I possibly can, and it's going to be kind of short. Okay, the last ways is universally loving. We create now a kind of liberty for all life to be universally capable of giving to all other life in ways that are unique and in ways that are truly changing and helping all of the life to be giving as well. Wow, that's a big deal. So all what we create start from an individual level. If you're talking about a human being, we try to create something that's going to help all life to be giving to all life in some incredible ways. Wow, that's an amazing thing. And then we're going to be doing this in a way that we are willing to give up our own life for the benefit of that taking place, whatever it is. Now, giving up our own life doesn't mean that we're going to go jump off a cliff. It may mean that we dedicate our lives to doing this at an incredible level of creation. It's truly remarkable. And finally, we got to get to the last way. The last way is where we create for the sake of God, period. In other words, the only reason for the creation isn't to grow life per se, it's to grow God. The ultimate goal is to help God to grow. We recognize that life is God's growth in itself, and it's good. And what we're going to do is to affect all life, but we're going to help all life to become aware of and more a part of God, and we're going to help God to grow on a conscious level, realizing that everything that we're doing is through and for God. We may do this starting off on an individual level, and then do it with the people we know, and eventually do it with all the people we don't know, everywhere, not just in this world, but eventually throughout the universe. It's too big to even get what I'm talking about. I got it. Okay, but those are the liberties that we need to create, and the deaths that we face in those liberties are huge. Because they are beyond our comprehension in some respects. But each death leads to a greater life. And remember that. Each death that we face, the other side coming out of it, leads to a greater and more principled life. And that's what the people in Iran are facing right now. And to all those who may be hearing my voice sometime in the future, I sure hope that you came through this. Because you have my heartfelt love and concern. And everything I can do to be of some help. And all the rest of the people, I think, that may have made it through everything I expressed today. Well, we are out of time. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.